ask not to record, but if you get in touch with me afterwards, I'll give you a recording.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry, I mean.
No recordings, right?
Yeah, if it's okay. Anybody who wants a recording can get one from me. Call it a Mishagas, but I'd prefer to do it that way. Contact me afterwards, I'll give out my email address.
Also, the first year.
Also available, yeah. Sorry, Rabbi Yisai. Sorry, okay. Bruchim Aboim. The hope for Siyata Deshmaya to say this as it ought to be said, Bezos Hashem. And also, I was finding that the biggest challenge in preparing for tonight was taking out material. And I hope I took out enough. We'll find out. I was cutting it down. We have a matzav of Hazman Kotzer of Amalocha Meruba, and that's again with the warning in advance that we'll be going till 10:15. I can't imagine otherwise. I want to start by recapping briefly what we discussed last week and trying to put it together into one cohesive picture. And that is the understanding that there are papers, anybody who didn't get yet the source sheet, there are papers just with the Maram HaKoymus. The understanding that the yesoid of this mitzvah, of mitzvah soina, is ichud, achdus, reflecting the oneness of Hashem, by showing how a world that seems really, this is what all of the Bria is about, showing how a world with all kinds of different various parts are really all coming together into one harmonious demonstration of uniformity. It's really all one interactive system. And the more Hashem's oneness is reflected in the world, the more Hashem's oneness will connect to the world, the more Hashem's Hashkina there will be. This is epitomized in Shalom Bayis as a whole. And Shalom Bayis is epitomized in Mitzvah Soina. And that's why Mitzvah Soina / Shalom Bayis is the one mitzvah, I believe, that's how I've heard it, where Chazal said that's the direct effect of the mitzvah. Every mitzvah causes Hashras HaShchina to one level or the other. But the mitzvah that the direct effect of it and the essence of the mitzvah is Hashras HaShchina is the mitzvah of Mitzvah Soina. So, again, briefly, I want to spend a little, not much time, but a little time recapping. I want to go through the Lashon of the Zohar again, this time inside, to make sure that we have the picture clear before we move on. So this is the Lashon of the Zohar. This is source number 2 on the sheet, Beis. The Lashon of the Zohar in Kedoshim, Daf Pei Aleph Amud Aleph, through Pei Aleph Amud Beis. Kud Shabrichu De'iu Echad, Hashem who is one, Yishtedal be'echad, he will involve himself, if we put it that way, involve himself with one. In order for Hashem, that's why we know that in order for Hashem to be shared on Klal Yisrael, there has to be achdus among Klal Yisrael, because one connects with one. It's like, if you want a coarse mashal l'mahadavadayme, if you want to take a chalent and pour it into a dish, so okay, fine. What happens if you have a dish that's actually, it's a china dish, it really broke into 5 pieces, but you're holding it together, and then you pour the chalent down on top of it. It just doesn't connect, right? It all falls apart. Hashem cannot rest, the Shechina, which is one, cannot rest on a fragmented reality. And therefore, again, our avoida is to bring about achdus Hashem throughout everything we do, and b'frat here. Hashem, who is one, yishtedal be'echad, he will involve himself with one. Because the king will not involve himself unless it's something that's suitable for him. That's why the pasuk says, V'hu be'echad u'mi yeshivenu. If we just directly translate the pasuk in a vernacular way, we'd say he is one, and who can conflict with him? But the pasuk says, "V'hu be'echad." He is in one. Why in one? La'shari kud shabrichu v'la ishtekach ela be'echad. Hashem will not rest and will not be found anywhere other than one, somewhere that's one. Be'echad. That's why the pasuk says be'echad. Hashem is, doesn't say Hashem is one. It says Hashem is in one. Echad mi ba'ele. Why didn't the pasuk say one? Ela b'man de'istikan b'kedusha ila'a le'mehev echad. It means a person who set himself up in line with the divine kedusha to be one. K'dein hu shariya be'echad. Then Hashem will rest himself on the one v'lo ba'asar achra, but not in any other place. When is man called one? Bishato de ishtekach dechar v'nukba. When he is in a state of zachar and nekeva. We discussed last week how mamish the shiur koima of man. Man and woman. Okay, we have plenty of gemaras to this effect. We also showed how the shiur koima, in terms of the way the mekubalim set it up, is that it's mamish one structure of the human being. When the Gemara says that a man without a wife is not a man, we saw how, based on the way the Zohar sets it up, it's mamish literal. It's like half of the systems are there and half of the systems are not. V'yiskadish b'kedusha ila, and they... Actually, he's not even talking in the plural. When he's talking about the man and the male and female being together, he doesn't talk about them. He talks about him. There's only one person there. Who is sanctifying himself with the divine kedusha and intending to be miskadish? How does that work? How are you mekadish yourself when you're joining together as one? Look, come and look. Bezimna de ishtekach barnash bezivug echad tvchar v'nukva. When a man is connecting together, male and the female. And they focus on being miskadish properly, then he is complete. I keep saying they, because I'm talking about the male and female. I'm not managing to really move into the reality of the Zohar, where there isn't the they there. By the way, that's why some explain the importance of tzniyus in this area. The importance of tzniyus in this area is because when the husband and wife are unifying, in their reality, there aren't supposed to be two people there. In their minds, as he's going to continue and elaborate, in their minds and in body, really what they're doing is merging into one. The problem is that any outsider will see two. And that is compromising the kedusha of the oneness that's being created there. So that's why I saw it explained. That's why some Amoraim were even makbid, that even other creatures... Insects should not be in the room at the time, because even in the eye of an insect, there's some physical manifestation of two bodies here. They saw that as a problem. Now, so when they focus on being miskadish properly, kedein hushlim ve'ikar echad b'lapgimu, then he is complete and is considered one without missing anything. And now he continues and he says, "Begin ekach boy barnash lemechde leitze ba'ishaita." That's why a person has to make his wife happy at that time. Lizamno lo b'usachado ime, to get her to connect with him and to be with him completely. V'iskavnu travayu kichad lahimila, and they should both focus together on this. So we'll see from the Ravid what that means. What exactly is the focus? They're both focusing together. What exactly is the focus? And then, when they're both together as one, then they indeed are one, in soul and in body. In soul, because in their minds, they are completely bonding with each other. And in their body, they're one in body because, as we know, a man who is not married is a half a body. And when the husband and wife get together, then they're one body. Ishtekach deinu chad nafsha v'chad gufa. So then, indeed, they are one body, they are one soul, v'ikre barnash chad. And then they earn the title of one person. Keden kudsha brichu shari be'echad. Then Hashem will indeed rest upon the one. V'afkid rucha de kedusha bahu echad. And he will bring down the spirit of kedusha upon the one. Okay, that was actually an experiment. I was misupa gift the last time if I should be reading out the Hebrew or just saying it out in English. I say I'm going to somehow have to find a way of nishtahe, nishtahe. Last time I felt that just reading the English wasn't quite doing it. Now I see that reading the Hebrew is going to completely overtext the Indian here. So, I don't know. We'll see. Let's see how we proceed. Whatever it is, the Zohar is really encapsulating it very, very clearly here, that the essence of what's going on here is Achdus that parallels and reflects and attracts the Achdus of Hashem, the Ichud of Hashem. Now, again, I keep saying briefly, and I don't know if you could trust me anymore, but I want to briefly move through the Ravid once again, where he, and by process of elimination, talks about the B'nai Teisha Midas. That's source number Gimel on our sheet, where he talks about the nine problematic states of a husband and wife getting together, that the Gemara says. Now, we're not going to go through all nine. You know, let's read them quickly, just l'hashlama sa'inyan. What are all nine? But there are a few I want to focus on because, again, like we discussed last time, the Rishonim, in order to understand what is the premise they're working with, they get so into the next levels that they're working with premises that they almost don't articulate, and you have to chop it from between the lines. And the Ravid, where it emerges from very clearly between the lines, and in his discussion of how is the wrong way of connecting, that's where you really see what is the most basic premise of the right way of connecting. So what are the B'nai Teisha Midas? There are nine things the Gemara in the Nedarim says, I will cleanse out from you those who rebel against me. And it says that these are the B'nai Teisha Midas, people who are born from a union in any of these nine states, that they're considered compromised neshamas. It has a negative effect on the neshama. Now, we have to bear in mind that this is a factor. If you hear something here that you might have happened, it's a factor. There are other factors involved. It's a major factor, Chazal say, but there are other factors involved. A person can be zeichus tetziata d'shmaya by making the efforts that he needs to make afterwards. So we're reading this for the purpose of understanding that this is for the future. If we weren't aware of these things earlier, then that was min hashamayim, that was the way Hashem set it up. But the B'nai Teisha Midas are, number one is B'nai Anusa, when a woman is forced. I'm going to spend a lot of time on that because as we already began alluding last week to understanding that when the mitzvah sa'ina is not operating, not functioning right, in the vast majority of the cases, it's because the husband is not performing as he should be. That's what most of the shiur tonight will be about, Bezos Hashem. And in most cases, it won't be B'nai Anusa because he's not actually forcing her, but the Ravid will show how it gets more and more subtle. But B'nai Anusa is forced. B'nai Snua, the children of a hated woman. Meaning, as we said last week, they don't like each other. They don't like each other. But they're not going to get divorced. It's not going to work socially. It'll harm their careers. It's not going to be good for the kids. They're going to stick together. Once they're sticking together, they're going to function together also. What's the problem with this? So the Ravid says, V'hatam mipnei shehi kemoi bi'ilas znus ve'enoi kebi'ilas ishus. It's a connection of znus. It's not a connection of ishus. In other words, when they're just getting together because both of them need to fulfill their bodily function to satisfy their desires, and they have a convenient means of taking care of the problem mutually, that, the Ravid says, falls under the category of znus. And this is again a chiddush that comes out of the Ravid. We stressed this last time, that znus is not only an issue of what is the status of the two people involved, but it's also an issue of the nature of the union. as we're going to see soon. Here he says, Kamoi be'ilaznus. He's still a little bit more distant. It's like a be'ilaznus. Because this is not the union that the Torah was talking about when it talks about husband and wife getting together. They don't like each other. There's no ahava, as he's going to stress soon. There's no ahava. But they're getting together because it's mutually convenient. It works. Kamoi be'ilaznus. So we're already... He's starting to point us in the direction. B'nai nida, nidui. Okay, b'nai nida. I don't think anybody is nichshal in that. B'nai tmura, also, we don't have to spend much time on it. We're just going through. Tmura means that he actually meant to be with a different woman by accident. It was his wife. B'nai mairedas, this is where we put more focus. The wife of a rebellious woman. What does a rebellious woman mean? So the Ravid says, okay, this is from the Gemara, but then the Rav adds his elaboration. The Amale Lei Ba'in Alach. She says, I'm not interested in you. Afal Pichenu Mishamishima. Nevertheless, he connects with her. Harei Etzlai Kimai Zaina. She is like a Zaina. Va'afilu Midaito. This is where we're adding to the Anusa. Even if it is with her consent. So, again, the way I heard this expressed was, she had a good Kala teacher, not good enough, but she had a decent Kala teacher, and she understands that this is the right thing to do, but she has absolutely no interest. This is a problem. And as we're going to discuss, in the vast majority of the cases, this is the result of the husband not doing the job right. We must insert the caveat that there are exceptions to the rule, And when there's exceptions to the rule, there are ways of dealing with it. And if it's an issue of lemaisa, so it's already not my realm. Talk to the Rav about it. There are professionals who deal with these things. But whatever the case is, don't assume that it's an exception to the rule just because of the fact that lemaisa she's not interested. Because again, there are exceptions to the rule, but in most cases, when on a regular basis, I'm stressing, I'm not talking right now about everyone's exhausted, etc. We're already at a stage of life where, okay, maybe we'll get to that, maybe we won't. But if on a regular basis the wife has no interest, it's quite problematic. It's often the result of not being aware enough of the avoida that's incumbent on the husband. Let's see. Now, so that's B'nai Mairedes. So he says, it's like a zayna. It's like a zayna once again, because when there isn't that mutual sense of bonding, then, again, the Ravid says that's not the union the Torah was talking about, and it moves over into the category of znus. A different version of the Gemara that the Ravid brings is B'nai Meriva, which is, Shem Yiskaitetim Yem Valayla. They fight all the time. They just don't get along well. Now here, we're already talking about a couple that they don't want to get divorced. They enjoy fighting, right? It's not like we said before that they don't hate each other. On the contrary, they enjoy the lifestyle. But they're fighting all the time. But he says, Habia hahi, again, he's not saying k'moy anymore. Habia hahi eina elo znus. Such a union is nothing but znus. He's not saying k'moy. Before he said it's like znus. Now he's saying such a bia is nothing but znus. She'ino mitoich ava, because it's not coming from love. This is mamash what I meant when I said the premises are only articulated in the negative. The Ravid doesn't say, here's how it needs to look. He tells you in the problems, what's the problem with this? Well, it's not a union of love. It's treif. So this is the basic premise of what the union is supposed to be, right? And then it goes further. B'nei shichrus. If they're drunk. What's the problem with B'nai Shichus? Shushikar Oishahi Shikara Ve'im Ba'im Kavonas Ava. They do love each other. We're talking about a couple that does love each other. They're just drunk. Okay? It's not like the people are fighting or they hate each other. They're just drunk. The act is not an act of love in this instance. That's the problem. Why? Because they're drunk. They're just rolling naturally. They're rolling naturally as an animal might. So, he says the pasuk already addresses it. It says nus yayin v'tiro shikach lev. Again, he's pulling it into the category of znus. rolling into it, even when it's a couple that does love each other, but there is not a focused activity of love going on right now, the Ravid keeps coming back with his nus. Okay, then we have B'nai Grusha Salev, a person who decided to divorce his wife and he's still with her. Hope it's not Negea. B'nai Irbuvia is when a person is with his wife but he's thinking of a different woman. Okay. And then B'nai Chatzufa, that is the case of a woman who, a chutzpahdika woman, a woman who are explicitly tells her husband, I want to be together now. Again, not getting into halacha lemaisa now. Halacha lemaisa, you have to ask the Rav. But this is not considered good. But what we do want to get from here too is understanding the other side of the coin, where the Ravi quickly draws a caveat and said there's a fine line between what's considered a problematic matziv and greatness. But if a woman's wife is making passes toward him, she's not saying the words explicitly, and she is making herself up, whatever it is, doing things to provoke him without actually saying anything, so that he'll take notice of her, and he'll be attracted, and he'll be with her. So, that's actually considered greatness on the part of a woman, which, as we discussed last week, is actually considered a reflection of the greatness of their marriage. When you have a situation where the wife is trying to provoke the husband, and from such a situation, she will have banim chachamim unavainim. Kelea imenu, just like Leah, she had Yisachar, who was noted for his Torah greatness among the Shvatim, was from such a union. Okay, now one other. So those are the B'nai Teish Amidus. What we were melakit from the Ravid here is that when we go through quite a number of them, the problem is A, it's not Ava, B, it's not focused Ava. Meaning when the couple doesn't love each other, that's a problem. But even when that's not the issue, but the issue is that right now that's not the state that they're in, the Ravid calls it Zanus. Rolling along naturally, the Ravid calls it Zanus. And that's the problem with the B'nai Teish Amidus. Now, one other point that he has, this is not from the B'nai Teish Amidus, but he brings a number of other things that Chazal say cause problems with the children. It's considered a problematic union. Now, okay, one of them is when the couple gets together backward. Or when the man gazes or kisses where he shouldn't be. Those are three. Well, we see that there's a certain hefkeris going on. It's already a little bit it's too much. Okay? But what's the fourth? The fourth is where they schmooze while they're getting together. They're schmoozing while they're getting together. That, it says, also produces defects in children. Now, what's the problem with schmoozing? So listen to what he says. The first three, mipnei shenagu b'minig hefker. It's because of hefkerus. Getting together, mitzvah sayina, is not... It is intense love, etc. For us, that doesn't equal letting loose. On the contrary, right? That's what we've been discussing. That in the outer world, where a union between man and woman is the most base thing, so the union itself symbolizes hefkerus. So what do you mean control? The whole thing is an essence of lack of control. No, not by us. By us, this is not hefkerus. It's kedusha. It's intense avodas Hashem. And therefore, no, we do not act with hefkerus then. Don't be stiff. We'll go on. We'll learn Bezes Hashem. It's supposed to be very, very natural, but not hefker. And therefore, yeah, there are things that Chazal say here, turning it around, looking and kissing in one particular spot is considered too hefker. But the fourth one is schmoozing. They're getting together. And they're schmoozing about something that happened throughout the day. Now, I want to stress, it's the Paiskim stress, this does not mean the talking that's going on associated with the union. On the contrary, we're going to see that that's a very big part of the mitzvah. But we're talking about they're getting together, they love each other, it's an act that's coming from love, and they're schmoozing about something else. What's the problem? And here's where the Ravid rounds out the picture of what the Maisa is supposed to look like. So, Arishayin is with Neshanagu Baminag Hefker, because they're acting Hefker. Aravis, what's the problem with the fourth? Mipneshanoisin Date Beishacheres. Once they're schmoozing, he's not as focused, he might come to think of a different woman. There's a lot of warning given about that in Chazal and in Halacha. But listen to the Ravid's second pshat. Inami. Another explanation is Mipnesha Oisa Hamase Keinznus. They're not drunk. They're focused. They love each other. And they're schmoozing about something else. It's Keinznus. Once again, he keeps on getting back to it's Keinznus. Why? She'enai miskaven loive oise. Because they are doing it without focusing on it. Here we have the full picture. They love each other, but they're doing it without focusing on it. That's already a problem. The Ravid also elsewhere says that that's the problem. That's why it's us to be schmoozing, to be talking about things other than the union itself. Bishas Maisa. So here we see, and this putting is into the perspective of the Zohar. We're talking about bonding. That is the essence of this Maisa is, of the way it's done, is it's focused bonding with love, right? That's what's coming out of the Ravid, this is what we saw the Zohar illustrating for us. And here we see the extent to which Chazal are demanding of us to be focused. Focused only on merging as one. You're in a different zone now. And what's the effect of this? Here, I'm going to round this out. This is the end of our recap of last week. Okay? Round this out with another very fundamental source on this whole subject. It's the Siddur of Rabbi Yaakov Emden, the Siddur of Beis Yaakov, the Seder Lil Shabbos. And he says, after he says how the husband has to get his wife into the spirit, which we'll see later, he says, once he spends the time making her happy, telling her nice things, etc. Az yavu zelazeh, then they will be in a loving state. V'yu bneim pichim, and they will have sons who are chachamim. And here, Mamash just brings it all together. Ki kefi ma shetia avosam zelazeh b'shas tashmi. We talk about having the right kavanis, right, in order to have the right effect. What is that right kavana? Kefi ma shetia avosam zelazeh b'shas tashmish. To the extent of the love between them at the time of tashmish, that will be reflected in the wisdom of the child who's born or his dumbness. So it's going to be a direct reflection of the love involved at the time. So we come away with a picture. We come away with a picture here. If we're going to sum it up into one or two sentences, it's a maisa of union, of bonding, of exclusive focus right now. There is nothing else going on. Exclusive and intense focus one on the other with love. That is what the Maisa of Mitzvahs Oina looks like. And as we've discussed, this is the Achdus we're discussing. We already talked about how this brings together, right? The bonding reflects the Ichud of Hashem, but it brings together Achdus in another way also, which is important to stress. And then we're really going to move on to our subject for tonight. We mentioned last week, and we'll get to it more this week as well, Be'ezus Hashem, how we're talking about love, and we're talking about a maisa that encompasses focus on the other person, love toward the other person, bonding with the other person. As we'll see soon, taking care to make sure that the other person's needs are being met, that you are providing for the other person in the best way possible, and enjoying it all immensely. Enjoying it all immensely. Yes, this is famously one of the biggest pleasures that exists in the world, which is what turns it into such an animalistic pursuit in the outside world. And it's precisely for this reason, this is part of the Achdus we're talking about. Because Catholicism believes, and Nuschois of it have made its way into our camp because the concept of Prishus might sometimes get mixed up, that any physical pleasure is treif and is outside the realm of godliness. How could it be? Holiness is rising above the body and the body's pleasures and the body's functions and taivis, etc. Right? But you know what epitomizes Kedusha by us? When we talk about reflecting the Achdus of Hashem, what we mean to show is nothing that Hashem created is outside the realm of His Achdus and His Avodah. And therefore, if there are pleasures that are an inherent part of our nature, taivis that are an inherent part of our nature, the epitome of Kedusha is showing how they too are bought into His Avodah in the most intense way. And therefore, as we saw last week, Rashi in Masechet Nida says that when a person approaches the Maisa without taiva, but for the sake of fulfilling mitzvahs oyna and to appease his wife, that was the lashon of Rashi. Rashi said, that's one of the B'nai Teisha Midas. It's not an act of bonding. There isn't the mutual interest without the taiva. Right? If you remember, we also saw the lashon of a Misim Goyen last week. It's a Misim Shalom Babayis Botel. We saw how mitzvahs oyna is what holds up the shalom in the house. The shalom bayis rides on mitzvah sayno. And Nisim Goyen said he was old and had lost his taiva due to his age. Rashi said that he wasn't capable of performing anymore. It was Ever Tashmish. And Nisim Goyen said taiva. The taiva is a very important part of what provides the shalom, because part of the experience is, yes, you're enjoying that bonding in the most pleasurable way possible. And not only that, but without the taiva, again, there isn't going to be shalom, because if the wife senses that the husband has no cheshek for her, she will not have her needs fulfilled. And therefore, the lashon of the Rambam, Nigeres HaKodesh, for example, is see this lashon more b'shlem isum b'ezras Hashem. But he says, "Mipnei sheba oisa achibur." In this union, he may not nase b'roiv cheshek ve'ahava v'ratzon. If it isn't performed with cheshek, desire, right? Taiva. It's another word for taiva. Cheshek ve'ahava, and love v'ratzon, and will. Meaning they both want it. Ein hashchina shera, but the shchina will not rest there. Okay. Now, here we're really Ad Kan Chazara of last week. Now let's move on to our subject. What's that? It's definitely something to note, because the Ramban is known for his concise and almost cryptic Lashonis. So that's right. To note his elaboration. Okay. And this is really going to lead us into the next stage. So Hashem set it up that we have this attraction toward what should be channeled into one of the mitzvahs that, as we'll see soon, it's one of the areas that could provide for the greatest growth in terms of the focused avodas Hashem that goes on there. But Hashem set it up such that there are also needs that are being fulfilled. This harmony that we're talking about means each one at the same time getting his own needs fulfilled, while ensuring that the other's needs are fulfilled. And here we come to the fundamental difference between men and women. And here we're really approaching our subject of what we kept discussing, we kept alluding to last time, that all too often when there's a situation where mitzvah sa'ina is not functioning right, where the woman is not interested enough, it is often because the husband is not operating the way he should. And this is really where we get now. Once again, every time I say that, I really should insert, there are exceptions to the rule, but most of the cases where you would assume it's an exception to the rule, first you have to try this seriously. First you have to go about it. If you're not doing it the way Chazal said to do it, if you're not doing it the way the Torah intended for it to be done, you can't assume that you're an exception to the rule. But If it is being gone about right, we have to stress that there are exceptions to the rule, even though that's somewhat compromising the point we're trying to make. Okay. We all realize that men and women are structured very differently in this sense. For a man, it can begin and end with a physical desire being met. And not much more than that is required. If there's also an emotional bond, it certainly makes it more. It enhances it. But, you see, a man can get full hannah out of, he can get his full satisfaction out of forcing a woman who is kicking and biting. Right? And he can get his full hannah. With a woman, it's not like that. With a woman, the taiva comes after an intense emotional experience of love. And that's why, for example, we talked about earlier about the focus. The truth is that if the focus is not there, it will actually compromise the wife's experience. For the husband, if we're just talking in terms of the needs, you can be schmoozing about other things. You can be watching something. You shouldn't watch something anyway. But and you get the full hannah. Okay, you might not want to be looking at other things because you want to focus on the hannah, but that's it. Right? It's like, don't disturb me while I'm eating because I want to focus on the corned beef right now. Whereas with the wife, it's not like that. And the way I would like to do this is read a letter of the Stipler. We already discussed how a lot of what we're doing here is actually based on the Stipler. And the Stipler gave a lot of hadrach in this area. And this is a very classic letter of the Stipler. What I would like to do is use it both for the impact of the letter itself and also to use it as an index to all the other sources we want to get to, because this letter of the Stipler, Mamish, brings together and encompasses all the different elements that Chazal imposed all around Shas of doing the mitzvah right. So, I'm not going to read it in Hebrew. I already experimented with the Zohar in the first few minutes. I'm going to read it in English and probably also skip some parts, and then afterwards, again, you have all the Ma'ariv Mekoymos are here. Anybody who wants fuller sources can contact me afterwards. We'll send it all. But so we're going to use this both for the impact itself and as an index to get us to the other sources we want to get to. This is a letter written to a man who had, like we said, if you just read the Kadmonim without being taught to read them right, to get the right perspective, you can come away with a very distorted picture. As we discussed before, the Kadmonim talk all about Pru Urvu, and they talk an awful lot about Prishus and not having too much Hana'ah, etc., etc. So, here's an example of a person who decided he was going to be a Kaddish. He was not going to contaminate himself with such disgusting things. He doesn't know, maybe there's a Hashkafic problem with the way the Torah set it up, or whatever the case is. He was not going to contaminate himself with such physical things. His wife wasn't on the right madriga to appreciate it, but she was not going to let her hold him down. So, this letter appears in Or Chayes Rabbeinu, written, put together by a very close Talmud of the Stipler. He says that the Stipler wrote this letter to this man as his Shalom Bayis was being completely destroyed. So here's what the Stipler writes. He says as follows. It's true that Precious from the Taivis of Olam Hazeh is an Inyan Gadol. It's something great when it's done l'shem shamayim, to make Hashem happy, and when it's not done for the purpose of achieving very high madrigas. That's such a characteristic sharp line of the Stipler, which really deserves a whole hour and a half shmooze in itself. When is Precious great? If it's done to make Hashem happy, not when it's done to reach high madrigas. Okay, I'm going to just leave it right now at that, without elaborating, but at such a line, holds so much. Okay. Whatever it is, he's granting. Yes, Precious, when it's done to make Hashem happy, is a great Inyan, but that's only if a person is keeping the basic requirements of the Torah. But if a person's Precious is going to cause him to transgress what the Torah says, so then where is his Precious going, the Stipler says? It's going to the Sitra Achra, to the forces of Tumah, and he's not going to get himself anywhere through it. He's going to think that he is rising higher and higher, while really all that height is just gaiva, thinking himself as a high bal madrega, and the truth is just contaminating himself and sinking himself lower and lower. And on the contrary, where this behavior often leads, the stipler says, is to open disgrace and humiliation, because he deprives himself of the own needs that he thinks he doesn't need, and he ends up just falling into really surim that he doesn't have the ability to overcome. As I know of such cases, Hashem Yishmer Leino, the stipler says. Now we're going to move back afterwards. What I want to do is read through the letter quickly. Don't believe that. And then come back and see how every line here is really indexing Chazals one after the other. Okay, now the stipler gets to his point. Oina is a mitzvah saseh de'oraisa, like eating matzah. Right? So what if a person says, "Oh, today's the Leil HaSeder, I decided I'm starting a fasting series today." And he looks down at the people who are busy stuffing in the matzah fast. They want to get into the Ketiyah Chilas Prasad. Look at such physical people. I'm not going to drink wine. I'm not going to eat matzah. So that's what the stipler says. That's exactly what you're doing. Right? He says, when a person is mevatel mitzvahs oina, he doesn't fulfill mitzvahs oina, because his wife is pregnant. Okay, so we're not creating neshamas now. It isn't true, by the way. You create neshamas also when the wife is pregnant, also when the wife is infertile. Great neshamas are being created. Whatever the case is, this person only wants to do the mitzvah of pruv revu. He says, if a person doesn't do it, then, and his wife was not really moichel, a true mechila, he stresses, true mechila b'leiv shalem, he is an absolute chayte. Now, I want to stress, this is something that I've heard, that mechila, I'm not talking about, one time you miss, but whatever it is, to rely on mechila on a regular basis is quite problematic, because it's likely not to be for real. But again, I am avoiding halacha l'maisa. I'm just raising the point to discuss with the Rav if it's relevant. Now he says, and this is a chet of ben odom l'chaveroi that even Yom Kippur and Misa don't atone for. This person is a gazlin, and he's a gazlin v'shoided, a gazlin and a thief, not just a gazlin. He's robbing his wife of what he owes her. And now he says, and that is shvichas damim, it's murder for a woman. Because, he says that what a woman's hope in life is, all that she pines for in her life, is that she should have a husband who loves her. And when she doesn't sense that, he says it's close to being pikuach nefesh. Anybody's a little bit on the scene, probably even if you're not on the scene, this is not an exaggeration at all. Right? It does not have to be an unusual case where this sort of thing can mamish lead to pikuach nefesh. Me'roiv tzar v'yogoin, pikuach nefesh as in death. I don't mean pikuach nefesh figuratively. Me'roiv tzar v'yogoin, because of her terrible distress and anguish, al hayesa galmuda kalmanus chayes, feeling lonely and like a living widow. This is what we said before. I'm just briefly indexing what we said before. That's why, taiva is a part of the mitzvah, because part of providing the woman with her need is pride, providing her with the sense that you're not there to indulge her, but that you're there because you need her. This is something that you're longing for. You're longing for being with her. That is what provides her need, that sense. And we all understand that if it's a show, our wives can see through it, right? We all have the experience, in whatever area it is, they see through us better than anybody else. So this is what we're saying, it's part of her need. Part of her basic need is for you to long for her. Now, as this type was going to say soon, really you do, right? But you're going to do it in a way that she doesn't sense it. Okay, let's see. Now he goes on and he says, mitzvahs oina. Okay, he goes through a little bit of a pilpul in halacha here. Bottom line, I'm not going to read through all his arichos. Bottom line, he says, lemaisa mitzvahs oina is expected to be twice a week. And he says, if a person decides he wants to exempt himself and take it down to once a week, not twice a week, He says it's close to being a suffik de'oraisa. And he says, now besides that, there is an absolute chiyuv when a person senses that his wife is especially being mishtoikik, especially longing for it, even if she just gives a slight hint. And this is open seifim in Shulchan Aruch. Okay, so that's number one. That's number one. Now, let's just, this is Ois Aleph in the Stipler's letter. A couple of points here, which I want to index now, and piece by piece. Let's step back for a minute. First of all, the Stipler is coming and telling us, Parishus is a nice concept, but it's only after the basics are in place. It's only after the basics are in place. This is something that's so important because this gives perspective. Even in Shulchan Aruch, again, I said last week, I heard it said, Rav Yosef said not to learn Seif Ches in Shulchan Aruch with Chasanim, where Shulchan Aruch describes the Anhagas of Reb Lezer, who took extreme measures to mamish minimize the act. So how do we put that together? How do we put that together? So you know what? Number one is that the Stipler is putting it into perspective, and he's saying, what's the pshat in Reb Lezer doesn't matter right now. Because besides the answer in terms of pshat in the sugya, there's an answer in terms of halacha lemaisa. Halacha lemaisa is that you have a chiyuv toward your wife. You read inspiring things about Reb Lezer that doesn't exempt you of your chiyuv toward your wife. So before we get on to the pshat answer, there's the halacha lemaisa answer. That's what the Stipler is saying here. Yes, there's such a thing as precious. But you can't knock out mitzvahs because of precious. Now, the truth is that when you learn carefully the Ravid, the other Makairas, you see that at the end of the day, the premises that we talked about are still there. He talks, the disciple will touch on it briefly soon. But that his wife was not, he did certain anhagas, but he was capable of providing his wife with her needs in that brief way. And the truth is, this we touched on earlier when we said we don't have the same emotional capacities as they had at earlier times. There's also a pshat in the concept of two wives. It seems so contrary to everything we know about the deep book between a man and his wife. Avraham Jacobovitz from here wrote one of the most profound pieces that I saw on the subject, where he says that our lack of grasping, it comes from the moment the point that we discussed last week, the understanding that we today have a much more diminished emotional capacity than they had in earlier times. Because in earlier times, a man was capable of providing each of his two wives. By the way, it was never encouraged. But even when it existed, even when it did exist, he was capable of providing each one with the sense of absolute exclusiveness. And these are things that it's just not shaykh for us to talk about today. We have such a hard time providing our one wife with that sense of being absolutely there for her, etc. So that's why, yeah, today to marry two wives is ritzicha. It's ritzicha. It's what the Stipler is talking about. You have no chance of living up to the of living up to what you need to, what you're putting yourself up to by doing that. So yes, Reb Lezer was capable of his wife coming away from the way he did it very briefly. It minimized his own hana'a. It didn't eliminate it, because if it would have eliminated it, that would have again eliminated the mitzvah. But he said, I want it to be what it needs to be, and not more than that. Not more than that. There's no such thing, I will understand physically, there's no such thing as eliminating the hana'a, right? But so I don't want it to be more than that. And he was able to provide his wife with what she needed, because again, otherwise, it would be usher to do it. Reb Lezer was not an amaretz. We all understand that. And Reb Chaim Kanievsky said that, yeah, when you read that Seifim Shulchan Aruch, if you want to take it at face value, there are other pirushim. If you want to take it at face value, he said, of course, it can only mean that the wife is okay with it. It can only mean that the wife is okay with it. And Reb Chaim said, I can't imagine that there are women who are okay with that today, would be okay with that today, certainly not under the age of 50. So again, the pshat, exactly what the pshat is will be what it will be. Halacha lemaisa is halacha lemaisa. Now let's move on in the Stipler. And now the Stipler goes further. He says, the way that Mitzvah Sa'in is supposed to be going about is described in the Siddur of the Yavids, right? That's what we just said before. The Siddur of Rabbi Yaakov Emden, Siddur Beis Yaakov. Dinei Lel Shabbos Kodesh. See there carefully. And he says, and everything that is stated there is halacha. Because according to the Torah, it is usur to connect with one's wife, to get together with one's wife, if it isn't, if she has not been, and here we're introducing what Chazal called the mitzvah of pius, if she's not mifuyeset. Pius means for a person to, anybody volunteer a good English word? Appease is, I don't want to use that word because appease is like making a person happy after they were upset. We're talking about something stronger here. It's like
seducing.
Yeah, it's not such a strong word. Yeah, wooing her. Right. It's wooing her, even seducing her. Seducing is stronger than the word pius denotes, but that term is used in Chazal. Yifatena. Okay? So he says, it's now, and here's the point. This is where we come back to what we discussed earlier, that women and men are different. A man doesn't need hakdamas. He doesn't need to be moved into the spirit. Once he's 13, 14, he's a healthy man, he's in the spirit. Right? So, but with a woman, it's not like that. With a woman, it's not like that. You go straight to the physical, she got nothing out of it. On the contrary, she was hurt. She was hurt, she was violated. For her...
Romancing her.
What's that?
Romancing her.
That's exactly it. This is where we believe in romance. Romancing her. Yeah, yeah. In order to move her into the state, when she feels her emotional... That she does connect to. That she does connect to. The emotional attraction, right? The everything that a husband does to show the attention and to show the affection, that certainly does talk to her. And that gets her going. And that will lead her up to physical taiva. But if you skip that stage, so the stipler is telling us, it's usur to do that. Mechuyev lefaisal, listen to the stipler, right? Kedush, right? We all picture those famous pictures of the stipler's holy countenance. And listen to the stipler's, this is Kedusha. Mechuyev lefaisal, he has to... Oh, okay, I guess I'll use the word woo. That's the best word we have. Bekiruv dechibuk v'nishuk. By drawing her close through hugs and kisses until he brings her to a state of desiring the connection. That can take time. It's not, you can't rush into the mice. Otherwise, he says, it's like feeding her to a lion who just bites into things. As the Gemara in Pesachim says. So here the stipler is of course referring to actual Gemaras. We have the Gemara in Pesachim, right? Pesachim that says, Tanya, Pesachim daf mem tesam und beis, it's source number hey on our sheet. Tanya hayu Rav Meir oimer, Rav Meir would say, kol ha-meisi biti la'am ha-oretz. What's that? Number vav, yeah, I'm sorry. If you marry a daughter off to an Am Haaretz, it says, what's the problem with marrying your daughter off to an Am Haaretz? What's the problem? Am Haaretz, right? The house is not going to be a house of Torah, right? He's going to be over in Halacha. He's going to take her down spiritually. That's what Chazal say the problem with it is. Kilu kaifso menicha lifnei ari. It's like tying her up and feeding her to, serving her to a lion. Why? Why? He's not going to treat her right. In what way? Just like in Ari, it just knocks down the prey and starts eating it while it's still alive without being embarrassed. It doesn't wait for it to die. So too, an Amaretz can meet his wife and then can go straight to connecting with her without Boishas Panim. The problem is that he can just go straight into it while she's not holding there. He skips the mitzvah of pius. He skips the mitzvah of pius. And you know what? That's what Chazal see as the problem with marrying your daughter off to Rama Aris. Her ruchnius is going to drop. It's not going to be a house of keeping halacha properly, etc., etc. Those are also problems. But what is the problem of marrying your daughter off to Rama Aris? You're finishing her off. As a woman. As a person. He's going to destroy her. And that's the experience. That's the experience. It's like someone taking a bite out of her flesh. She is being violated. by someone just coming, her husband, and taking his needs, satisfying himself without regard for her. And she's not a part of the picture emotionally. She's a whether you call her a piece of steak, right, or whether she's his esrig, right? In the case of the guy who, you know, people put their esrig in a cushion thing. She's his lulav. Okay, so he's gonna come in. He's gonna do his mitzvah. He's gonna do a behidur. He's gonna become a kaddish by what? By ignoring her when he does it. That's how he's gonna become a kaddish. That's feeding your daughter to a lion. And Taka, Chazal say, we're not going to get too into exactly what Chazal mean here because we can't get sidetracked right now. But the Gemara in Eruvin, Taka sets this down as a requirement. Eruvin Daf Kufa Mudbeis. That's number 5 on our source sheet. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Il Mele Leinitna Teira, Hainu Lemeidim. He gives examples of different animals that we would have learned proper behavior from. And Derech Eretz Mitarnagol. We learn Derech Eretz from the rooster. Shemefayez v'achar kach boil. The rooster first woos the shekoyach dove. The rooster first woos his wife. Her, woos, well, the chicken, okay? The hen. And then connects with her. And the Gemara describes what he does. He does this elaborate little dance, whatever it is, that is meant to get her into the spirit. Other animals don't do that. Other animals act like animals. Right? They go straight into it. They go straight into it. And Chazal say, we learn pius from the rooster. So now, the Sepla goes on and he says, he is mechuyev once again. He talked about the chiyuv of mitzvah sein itself. Now he says, part of that is, he is mechuyev to woo her, to show closeness through hugging, through kissing, until she reaches a state of desiring the connection. And when he goes ahead and he does it without her will, why? Because she is not ready yet. It takes time for a woman to be ready. It takes time, every time. Not every time, maybe sometimes not, but this is a rule. I mean, this is not, we're not talking about, you know, when she's a kala, when she's, you're just married, she has to get used to it. This is how women operate. They need the time beforehand of the warming up, of the closeness, of the romance, in order to get into the state, into the spirit, until she already wants to connect. So now, and when he does it, when she's not ready yet, so the children are begedra poshiva modern kedin b'nei anusa. The disciple says, that's the b'nei anusa, that's the first woman we were talking about as one of the teisha midas. And when a person just rushes ahead and does the act, miyad, right away, without first drawing her close, and then he immediately distances himself from her, yeah, again, he's kadosh. He's not going to spend more than a half a minute on this. He's above these things, right? So he comes, does it, moves away, turns over, amapil, and goes to sleep. So he says, the Baal thinks that he's catching malachim. Now the truth is, the stipler, in his stark and blunt way, he says, the husband, where's the precious? He hasn't compromised his honana at all. He got everything he needed out of it, in terms of the taiva. Okay? Like nigami tava, it's like klum. He hasn't lost anything of his taiva, right? And his on yetzer is completely satisfied. Bahana shlema, with the full hana'a, right? But, who lost that? Who's parush? Who did experience precious? He said his wife does not enjoy such behavior at all. On the contrary, this is painful, it's humiliating, and she'll be weeping in secret. And her tear will not come back empty. The disciple is being harsh here. He says this is a case when a person is being tormented and they cry out to Hashem, retribution will come. And he says this person is unquestionably bringing upon himself dinim milamala midas hadin. He will not have siyata dishmaya. And the fact that he feels like he is flying high in his ruchnias, he says it's dimyan shava sheker. He says it's false fantasies. Why? Why is it a false fantasy? The stipler, again in his blunt style. Because averis do not get a person high, they only contaminate it. That's why. So this precious is nothing but avinus upshay.
What if the person is wants you to do something that's not so kosher, but it gets her pleasure.
So, perhaps by the end of this year, we may have talked about what you're referring to. If not, then Iskar Rav Halacha L'maisa. Iskar Rav Halacha, because these things have to be addressed. If it's taka outside the realm of, then it has to be addressed on an individual basis. These things will be addressed by an authoritative Rav on a very individual basis.
He said that you need to mephias her through emotional needs, yet the examples he gave were hugging and kissing, which sounds physical.
Okay. We're going to go through sources a little bit more, and we'll see. The truth is that hugging and kissing goes along with a lot of talking. It goes along with talking. It goes with closeness, stroking, etc. Okay. Now, and now the staff, this is what we mentioned before. This is what the stipler talks about in Sif Ches. What the Shulchan Aruch talks about in Sif Ches, the descriptions of Rabbi Elazar, etc. He says, it's only when the woman is mefuyas, when she's satisfied and happy with it. Otherwise, he says, it's asur to connect with her in that way. Meaning, he might have been allowed to do that, but then he wouldn't be able to connect, right? He says, lemaisa, there's an isur to connect without making sure that the prefaces that need to be in place are in place. So, and he says, and what the Yavid says in his Siddur is halacha la'amita shel Torah. Okay. Now just to see what the Yavid says, it's the same piece that we quoted earlier. He says he needs to ease his wife's mind, and he has to, this is really source, back to source number 4 on the source sheet. He needs to ease his wife's mind, calm her, make her happy, prepare her, bolster her with things that will gladden her heart, warm talk, so that she will come to have taivit toward him. B'kedusha v'taras demyena k'mokein, in a state of kedusha, because when all this is approached in this framework that we're talking about, that this is what you want the achdus, etc., then all this is in the realm of kedusha. And the Yavetz goes on and he says, and this will be discernible in her breathing and in her eyes. Meaning, you will see when you're getting her there. In other words, the Yavetz is Lashon. Ye'nika b'nishimasa b'ineh. It'll be discernible in her breathing and in her eyes. Va'oz ya'avu zel hazeh. Then they'll reach a state of love. And as we went on, we quoted last time, their sons will be pikchim, etc. Okay. Now, I want to elaborate on this a little bit more. The Ramban. Now the Ramban, as we said before, you look in the Kadmonim, you look in the Rishonim, they're talking a lot about precious. They're talking a lot about precious and about not, you know, just succumbing to your type, etc., etc. But, and I keep saying, but they're all working with premises that are there, right? And they're not even bothering to articulate those premises. And like we saw with the Ravid, that the premises come out from between the lines, let's see what the Ramban says in his Igeras HaKodesh, in Perek Shishi, what's called Eichus HaChibur. So, and this is source number Ches on our list. So the Ramban says as follows, I'm just reading parts of it, okay? He says, again, he talks about, on the one hand, he says, Al tinoy kalus roish v'divrei shavetatua. Don't get, well, kalus roish means like hefkedik. Like we said before, out of control, just undisciplined. Don't be make a rush with your wife. Oh, so maybe that means to approach it, you know, with trepidation, trembling. So now he goes on and says, he says, Lefichach. Okay, let me just read it in English. You should ease her into this with things that will draw her heart and settle her mind and make her happy in order for her mind, kliksha daitcha bedaita, in order to bring yourselves together, to bond in your minds. Okay? V'kavanascha bekavanasan, so that your focus merges together. Right? Goes back to what we talked about earlier, right? Now listen to this. Loima advarim, and to tell her things, ksasa machnisim oisa, which will get her into a state of cheshek v'chibur, v'ava v'rotzoin v'agovin. Cheshek, okay, cheshek, as we said before, a sense of, cheshek means taiva, taiva is the English word for cheshek. You get her into a state of cheshek, okay, and connection, closeness, and love, and desire, v'agovin. Agovin means, when the Shulchan Aruch talks about the types of books you're not allowed to read, he says you're not allowed to read Sifrei Agovin. It means that now you talk to your wife about how appealing she is to you, parts of her body, describe how beautiful this is, etc. This is where it's Kaddish. You still want to do it, you still want to be on top of what you're saying. You still want to do it in a disciplined way. You don't want to become a menuvel. But, yes, this is what the Ramban is saying. Look at Shir HaShirim. Right? Shir HaShirim is describing the beautiful different parts of the body. And together with that, you also say things that will draw her to Yirat Shamayim, v'chasidus, and tznius. And you give her examples of inspiring women from the past. Okay, I'm not going to go through all the arichas here. And so he says, yes, you should be operating on both tracks at the same time. He says, Roy lach mesatim es ishta, you should draw your wife with dvarim toivim, telling her nice things, sit and say nice things. Okay? Mehem agavim u mehem yirat shamayim. Agavim means seductive talk and yirat shamayim.
Can you give an example of yirat shamayim talking, which is nothing?
What sort of yirat shamayim? If you read the Lashonos of the Zohar we've been talking, and some of the Lashonos of the Zohar that we'll see, these are good. We are going to bond now in a way that's completely one. Right? You say these things, so one that we'll be able to really reflect Hashem. Right? This is something that creates the Kedusha of our house. The whole Ruchniyistic level of our house is going to be a result of how closely we're going to be getting right now. And I've been looking forward to this all day. That's serious. We'll see that soon.
I'm saying, all these people is not bound to say when your hands touch Mekom HaSom HaChuzim?
Halacha Lamaisa, Abkan. I don't know.
Or maybe it means in an earlier stage, because...
It's Mestaba that it means in an earlier stage.
Saying Ramban, I always had a problem.
Mestaba that it means in an earlier stage. It's Mestaba that it means in an earlier stage. And Hanami, maybe at that point already, you'll keep away from these Diburim. But even so, there are still Diburim of Yerushalayim. You can pick them out in a way that's not Mamish Divrei Torah. You can talk about Hashem. You can talk about Hashem, right? You can talk about Yerushalayim with unclean hands. It shouldn't be Divrei Torah, right? On the contrary, going to the bathroom, why are you supposed to be doing tznius? In order to keep Emas Shamayim Alechem. I mean, you're supposed to be thinking about Hashem in the bathroom. But, yeah, okay, we're getting to the realm of Halacha L'maaseh, I'm backing off.
This is practical.
Also. It is practical. Enoch Hanami. Should be Mevara then. And then, yeah, and he continues, you get back to the quote that he said, that we quoted earlier, that when it comes to this union, if it's not done with cheshek, love and desire, ain't shechina sherebo, the shechina will not be there, etc. Okay, he keeps on coming back to it. You should try to draw her heart close with nice and seductive words, attracting words, right? It should be well said. And miyushav, again, we're not talking about becoming hefker here. We're not talking about street talk. And all this, right? The love, the agavim with the yerushamayim, the ava, v'rotzon v'cheshek, and yerushamayim, and tznius, all should come together so that they're both focused l'shem shamayim. And again, he comes back to it. Don't connect with your wife when she's asleep. Right? Because we said before, we want both of them to be focused on this. She'inas kama shneim achas, because they're not together in their minds right now. There isn't anything negative going on, right? But they're not bonded in their minds right now. That's a problem, right? Loila oyer oisa b'divrei ritzui tzui v'cheshek k'mo she'amarnu. Help wake her up with divrei ritzui v'cheshek, with close and words of love and closeness, etc. Now, I want to go further. Further. We saw the Ramban, and let's now move on to a Zohar. Listen to this Zohar. This is a Zohar in Parshas Bereishis. Okay? A Zohar in Parshas Bereishis. That's source number Tess. Okay, we have a chance of getting through all the Makaris. Bereishis Daf Mem Tess Amud Beis. The Zohar sees the words that Adam HaRishon said when Chava was brought to him. He said, "Zois hapam etzem me'atzamai ubosa mibsori." The Zois hikari isha ki me'ish l'kocha Zois. No. He was giving a biological analysis of what this was. He discovered a new zoological discovery, and he said, "Oh, I know what this is. This is etzem me'atzamai ubosa mibsori." What the Zohar says, listen to the Zohar here. Listen to the Zohar. We see from this, I'm not going to get into from where we see the Zohar, it's a long, long, long shtickle that goes on and on. He goes from one thing to the next. But we'll start from here. We see from this, the Zohar says, that when a person is mischaber with his wife, he connects with his wife, he has to approach her and sweeten her up. He keeps using the word levasama. Sweeten up with words. And if not, he shouldn't connect with her. Because we want both of their desires to be together. It's again, kechada, together, merged as one, bonded, without anything being forced. Look at what it says. Vayemer ha'adam zayis hapam. Adam HaRishon says, Zeis HaPam. This time, it's Etzem Me'atzamai Ubosam Mibsori. It's my bones, it's my flesh. This should be called a woman because she was taken from man. He says, Habesimu Demilim Da'amshacha Yimach Alivusa. This is Adam offering sweet words to draw her affection, to draw her to him affectionately. And to get their desires together, and to arouse her love. These are sweet things that he's telling her to arouse her love. Look how sweet these words are. This is Zohar. Chamu kama besimin imin mili. Look how sweet these words are. Look how loving these words are. Kama mili dir chimusa inun. This is Zohar, okay? It should be sweet. It should be loving. Etzem me atzamai ubasa mibsori. He tells her, you are etzem me atzamai ubasa mibsori. You are my flesh. What's he telling her? Begin in order to show her that they are one, that there cannot be any connection between them. Let's translate that into the way we might say it. I can't imagine life without you. I can't imagine how I ever got along before I was married to you. Living with you, I can't be without you. This is what he's saying, right? We are just one. And that is one of the most delightful things for a woman to hear. One of the most delightful things for a woman to hear is how bonded her husband feels to her. We can manage without it. It's nice to hear it from our wives. It's like any other compliment, right? But this is something that a woman thrives on, and it's fuel. It's emotional fuel that she also needs. The sense that her husband needs her and feels like he couldn't do without her. And then, so first he tells her about his own feelings. I couldn't be without you. We are just one. If you can find a way of expressing to your wife how one you feel with her, your mom is using the Zohar script for the Divrei Ritzui that you should be approaching this with. Okay? And then he goes on to the next part. Then he starts praising her. L'zoisi kare isha. This is the woman. What's he telling her? The Zohar says, "There is, you are the quintessential woman. Dahi de la ishte kach kavasa. This is it. There can't be any other one like you. This is woman, right? You are the pride of our home. He says, there's no other one like you. You are the pride of our home.
It's kind of funny.
There only was one.
What's that? No, either. The prestige of our home is the wife.
Right.
Yeah, but we're reasons.
So the truth is, when I heard this said, was that when I heard this said? Well, listen to the next line. Yeah. Well, listen to the next line. If this was Shver, listen to the next line. Kulay noshin gabok kofa b'nei noshim. All other women next to you look like monkeys. Women, were they talking about? So I heard it. What's that?
You get shot for saying that.
What's that?
You won't be married after you say that.
Well, it depends. You know what? But you know what? You know what? The truth is, there's a serious point there. Use what works for you. Okay? These are giving kivonim. I would suggest that maybe at that point.
That's a test why I could have told her that.
What's that?
That's a test.
Oh, but Didi is saying maybe Adam Arishon was able to say that. Okay. Okay. But whatever it is, no, let's hear what the Zohar is saying. This is the woman, the most perfect. This is perfect in every way. Only you could really be called a woman, none other. He said, all this is full of love. And it's like the Pasuk says, Rabbi is bona isasuchoil vatalis al kulon. Pasuk from Eishes Chayil. Many women may have achieved great things, but you're the best. You're above them all. And therefore, al ken yazov ishes aviv es imoy v'dovak b'ishtoy. Therefore, a man will forsake his father and mother, and he'll bond with his wife, and they'll become one flesh. Kula lam shochala b'chimu. This is all being said to draw her close with love and to bond with her. So here we have the Zohar's description of how you go about the mitzvah of pius. Well, the mitzvah of pius goes further. Okay? You know, let's stop and take a breath. We've introduced the mitzvah of pius. And this is what we meant when we said that the mitzvah of oina in its complexity both entails harnessing our greatest pleasures, our greatest taivas in Tavetzas Hashem, and also entails controlling taivas. It's a very inherent part of mitzvahs oina. It sounds counterintuitive, but this is the pshat. Person comes ahead, and as far as he's concerned, let's get down to business immediately. No. You want to create that harmony, you want to create that real shlemus and achdus. Here's the challenge, and this is what we mean. This is such intensely focused by another machaveri of controlling your own readiness, ready to move ahead, and working with your wife and giving it all the attentiveness and all the closeness and all the romance in order to get her into the exact same place as you are. Now, how much earlier do you start? From when does this start? So, of course, this is Bishas Maisa. This is Bishas Maisa. What's that? No, I mean today, in each mitzvah Saina. What's that? Okay. But in each instance of mitzvah Saina, when does it start? So, okay, this is Bishas Maisa surrounding the getting together. But now I want to move on to source number Yud. This is a tour in Siman Reish Pei. What I really want to get to is the Bach on the tour. This is so beautiful. The tour says in Siman Reish Pei that when you go to sleep, Shabbos night, say Kriya Shema like on all of the nights, and make sure to fulfill the mitzvah of Oina. Like it says in What's his proof? So he says, Friday night is the time for the mitzvah. So he brings a story from the Gemara. Listen to this story. This is a story from Ksubis, Taf Samach Beis, and Beis. Yehuda Breda Rabbi Chia He was the son-in-law of Rabbi Yanai. He went away to yeshiva. He used to come home every Shabbos. That was how it worked then, right? He used to come home every Shabbos. Now, he would come home Erev Shabbos. Come to his father-in-law's house, that's where his wife was staying, way all week. He would come home every Erev Shabbos. And it says, when he would come home, there would be a pillar of fire going ahead of him. A pillar of fire going ahead of him. His Kedusha. Okay? Now, one time, he got caught up in the sugya. He didn't come. And when they didn't see the pillar of fire coming, so Rabbi Yanai said, he must have died. Because if he was alive, he would not be mevatel as mitzvasayno. Yes, it was Friday, you know, it's the time for the pillar of fire should be showing up as a harbinger of him, right? Coming before him. Didn't come, he said he must have died because otherwise he would not skip his mitzvasayno. And Rabbi Yanai didn't mean to curse him, he really thought that. But it was like the Gemara says, Kishkoga Yitzis Mipi Ashalit, a great man articulated something, and that's what happened. He was niftar. So that's the story. The Bach wonders, why did he need to bring this story? He wants to show that you're supposed to do the mitzvah of Oina on Lel Shabbos. There's plenty of Gemaras about that. It says it. That's the time of Tamid Chachamim, the mitzvah Saina. That's the time of mitzvah Saina for Tamid Chacham. You know, the story is a roundabout way of showing it. So the Bach says, why did he bring this story? You want to tell a person you mechuyev to keep the halacha. I mean, the halacha says in the Gemara that the chiyuv of Oina for Tamid Chacham is every Friday night. So listen to what he says. Listen to this carefully. It says, Venira, the reason you bought this story is to teach us that you have to be careful. You know that there's mitzvah sainu coming up tonight? It's Friday. This is challenging if it's Friday. Maybe it's only for Tamid HaChachamim. Maybe for the way the rest of us run our Fridays, maybe we shouldn't do Friday night. Whatever it is, listen to what he says. He says, you know that there's mitzvah sainu coming up tonight? If you know that coming up tonight there's mitzvahs oina, you have to show extra love and affection to your wife, and certainly not to get into any fights with her on Erev Shabbos. And if there was some fight, make sure to completely make up with her and apologize and appease her before Shabbos comes in. And this is what Tur meant. Tur didn't mean to say, after the Suda, go be Mekayim Mitzvah Saina. When the Tur said, you mechuyev to be Mekayim Mitzvah Saina, what he meant was, on Friday afternoon at 12 o'clock, you mechuyev to be Mekayim Mitzvah Saina. You have to be setting up the atmosphere now. Okay? Zhirus hukoydem maisa. When he talks about Zahir, you have to be careful to be Mekayim Mitzvah Saina, he meant beforehand. Meaning, this Zahirus, that make a point of ensuring that there is Ava ve'achva all throughout Erev Shabbos. So that there will be no bittul to the Oina of Shabbos. He's not saying so that it won't happen. He's saying that it won't be taken down. You won't diminish the mitzvah. And therefore, he says, that was the pshat. What's the pshat? Rabbi Yanai said, oh, he wouldn't have been mevatel mitzvah. What do you mean he wouldn't have been mevatel mitzvah seina? He usually showed up at 2 in the afternoon. It's 2:30, he hasn't showed up. Where was he mevatel mitzvah seina? Right? Maybe he's going to come right before Shabbos. So he came a little late. No. This was his kiyum of mitzvah seina, was showing up early enough on Friday to set the atmosphere. Mitzvah seina didn't start after benching. Right? The fishaya. So he says, if he would make a point. He didn't just come home on Erev Shabbos because he can't come home on Shabbos. The reason he made a point of coming home early on Erev Shabbos is in order to show that love and affection. And listen to what the Bach says further. What was that pillar of fire? I'm saying that wherever he went, there was a pillar of fire. Right? What? All of a sudden, when he came on Friday, there was a pillar of fire. He says, the pillar of fire that came home before him, that preceded him when he came home on Erev Shabbos, was the siman, it was the sign of the hispashus, the spreading out of the light and kedusha of the Shekhinah that would be coming on Lel Shabbos and bonding and merging with Hashem in anticipation of their mitzvah soina, okay? And since they didn't see that sign on that Friday, that was called it. He was mevatel mitzvah soina. And therefore he said he must have been dead, and l'maisa ended up being nifter. So that's how the Bach is putting it, right? This was the Shekhinah coming ahead in anticipation of what was coming. And this is this Hamorah making a point of coming home beforehand, early enough, not so there should be enough time to shower, but so that there should be enough time to set up the atmosphere. So here we're seeing that we're talking about, and this is also something that l'maisa, it's part of the woman's experience. Just like we said, you can't just come and say, all right, okay, you turn off the lights and, you know, we need to be asleep in 15 minutes. We need to lead up to it. It will enhance her experience and get her all the much more so into the spirit if throughout the day you're focused on it and she is sensing from you that you're looking forward and you're showing her how we have a special night coming up tonight. This is all a part of the mitzvah of pius, of the mitzvah of the Bach is reading this into the mitzvah of Oino according to the Torah. Okay. Now, the Stipler mentioned another thing. And he mentioned also not to go away immediately. So there's another Gemara. That says that this is the Gemara in, this is source number Yud Aleph on our source sheet. Nida ayin aleph amud aleph. Hinei nachlas Hashem banim schar priya beten. Children are the reward. It's the fruit of the stomach. So yeah, it's the fruit of the stomach. Children are the fruit of the stomach that we understand. But why is it the reward of the fruit of the stomach? So, Amar Rabbi Chama ber Rabbi Chanina b'schar shemashin atzma bebeten kedei shetazriya ishto etchila. We're going further, and we're saying that when they actually do get together, we talked about a person getting his wife into the right state. But when you actually do get together, the longer a person can draw it out, and here again, we're demanding of the man to control his taivus, to keep himself in check, in order to, the longer it's drawn out, the more and more she will be stimulated. This is something that Chazal point to as a schus, to be zoichet to banim schar, to be zoichet to sons. And the rabbi makes that point. The Gemara here doesn't say it explicitly. The Gemara just says kedeshet tazriyat chila, that she will be mazriya first. But the rabbi says the point is that you're doing it because you want her to enjoy. That's what this schar is for, because she is going to enjoy it more if you can prolong it, can delay it. That can be challenging. And there are different eitzes. I'm not the address for the eitzes. There are people who specialize in it. I know some eitzes. I'm certainly not going to talk about it now. I can give some eitzes that happen to work, but not like as an authority. There are people who know this inyan. But to try to draw things out as long as possible, because once again, the achdus created here is by the harmony, is in the fact that while I am enjoying and while I'm getting this immense pleasure, I am focused on providing her with the most optimal experience she could have. Okay. Now I want to tie this up with, you know what? Let's take a breath. Let's follow up with a little bit more of the Stipler, and then we'll make a couple of added points. So now the Stipler says, "Misha'oisa kiruv v'chibuk v'kayyotze b'lashem shamayim." When a person goes about all this closeness and this hugging, l'shem shamayim, because of empathy for his wife, He doesn't want her to be hurt or offended. Do not think that that will cause any desensitization of Yirat Shamayim. Don't think that that's called falling into Taivis. On the contrary, this is Kedusha. This is a kiyum of the mitzvah sasei de'oraisa ve'halachta bidrochav. This is what I'm reading from the stipler, yes? Just like he is racham, so to you are racham. You are using, at the time when you are bonding in this way and getting that immense pleasure, it's that harmony that we're talking about of bad bevad, putting in the efforts to ensure that she is going to come, I'm going to provide, I'm going to shine in the experience that I'm providing. And besides that, it's important to know that the chibuk and nishuk, that the hugs and the kisses are actually a part of the mitzvah. This is important to realize, that the hugs and the hugging and kissing are not incidental. They each have significance in and of themselves. If you look in the Shla, if you look in the Reishis Chachma, the Shla says that the hugging is besoid. These are all reflecting aspects of the chibur between Hashem and Klal Yisrael above. It's all added ingredients of the ichud that's being created, and it's all elaborated on in the Mikubalim. Look, read through the Reishis Chachma and the Shla. Each of these has very, very immense power, both in the physical sense and in the what's going on in the Olam HaSa'aliyin. Okay. I'm not going to go through the rest of the stipler now. We saw the gist of it. Anybody who wants to get the full letter, let me know. I want to just tie up, just by mentioning a couple of other things that, believe it or not, we actually have the time. Just, yes, to give a little bit more insight of what's going on when we're doing this in the right way. So it is something taken from the Reishis Chachma. I don't remember now if the Reishis Chachma, I believe he says it from the Zohar. If not, it's on the authority of the Reishis Chachma, who talks about the significance of what might be taken as the base parts of it, right? Of when you put yourself into this framework, when you're in the framework of I am bonding with my wife now because she is, like the stipler says, Eishes Brischa v'chavertecha, right? She is my shlemus. She's my hashlama. She is my reflection. Right? Me and her bonding together now is the reflection of the Achdus Hashem. It's bringing both of us to our shlemus. When this is the focus and everything going on, including the pleasure, including all the aspects of the physical experience, are being elevated to the highest of places. If you remember last week, we quoted the Lashon of the Shlo, who said, "Ein kedusha b'kol ha-kedushas k'kedushas ha-zivuk." Of all the kedushas, there is no kedusha like the kedusha of zivuk. So, the Reishis Chachma describes it as follows. He says that when a person moves into the state of being aroused by his wife, in this context, right, we're not saying it's completely different from the outside world. In this context, when a person is being aroused by his wife, so what's the process? The process is that, we know how it works, right? The man is the mashpia, the woman is the mekabel. We're not going to spend a lot of time assuming everybody's familiar with these concepts. The man is the mashpia, the woman is the mekabel. But how does it work? She moves him into the state of being able to be mashpia, right? If anybody's feeling lost with the terms I'm using, please speak up. But the process is, right, the physical process is that he's aroused by her. She moves him into a state of physically being able to be mashpia on her, right? So the Reishis Chachma says, again, I believe in the name of the Zohar, I have to double check, that this what's actually happening here, it's the same process of the Eish Shel Mata, we light a, he says, he's being heated up by his wife, right? He's being aroused, he's being heated up, it's called chimum. Right, he's being heated up. He says it's the Eish Shel Mata. We bring the Eish on the Mizbeach, which is Ma'oirer the Eish Shel Mala. That brings about, in response, the Eish that comes down min Hashemayim. It's our avoider from down here that's ma'orer, the Cheshek ha'elyon, right? The Cheshek from up and above to come and connect with it. And it brings down the fire min Hashemayim onto the Mizbeach Shalmata. That is what's going on at that time. And therefore, the Reish is Chachma. Well, this basically comes after he says that the whole thing is only supposed to be Ruchnius. So you say, well, I mean, if it's Ruchnius, then how am I supposed to get the process started Bechlal? He says, no, that is Ruchnius. This is what's going on. It's the Eish Shalmata being Ma'ir the Eish Shalmala. In other words, when we talk Ruchnius, we don't mean shed the body and drop it on the side. What we mean is take the body and bring it into the realm of Ruchnius, and then on the contrary, that's the Eish Shalmata. That's the Eish Shalmata. Say a quote that I heard B'Shem Reb Aaron Kotler. You have two couples. Come back after the night of the Chasana. And there are two different ends of the spectrum in terms of, okay. And the couple number one is they're two tchatchkalach. They know exactly what they want. They're not concerned. Nobody feels awkward. And they get together and they just let loose. And the whole night is just letting loose. And you have the other couple. And they both learned that, you know, about the immense Kedusha of this night. And they're both also like this Lamaisa goes against a lot of what they've gotten used to up till now. And they both come and they both sit down. And they say, well, we're going to waste the night with like physicality. They're going to sit down. And they're going to say Tehillim with trepidation and with tears. And if they also, you know, get together and do what they need to do. By the way, the Stipler commented about that. He said, if you're so scared of the Shekhinah coming, you know, the Imam is moving to a state of trepidation, you don't have to worry, because the Shekhinah doesn't come when it's like that. But, so Lamaisa, right, they're in the state of trepidation, they're sitting, they're trembling, they're quaking. How's it supposed to look? So what I heard B'Shem Reb Aaron Kotler said, it's supposed to look like the first couple with the mindset of the second couple. And this is what we're talking about here. We're talking about, when we talk about the Eish Shalmata and the Eish Shalmala, and it should all be Ruchnius. We mean saying, understand that we understand now that our physicality is being taken into the realm of pure Ruchnius. This is what Hashem made this for. This is what Hashem wants of it. This is what gives him Nachas Ruach. And this is what is going to bond us with him in the most intense way. And then the Reish Chachma goes on and says that these things are reflected. He mamish makes parallels between what's going on here and what's going on when a person is davening. When a person is davening, he says it's the same process. We start talking down here, and that's ma'orer l'hashpa from up on top. It's the mekabel being arousing the mashpia to just let the hashpa come forth. Just like what happens in terms of the physical process with our wives, he says that's the process of tefillah. We are ma'orer Hashem's cheshek, ma'orer Hashem's rotzoin through our words of davening, and that brings forth the hashpa on us milamala l'mato. Starts from milamato l'mala. It's like the Chazon Ish says, when a person davens, it's like a beautiful harp playing in Hashem's ears. This is the effect that we're having. And Taka, what's the mashal? How's it expressed in Shir HaShirim? You're not allowed to hear a woman sing, right? Kol b'yisha erva, everybody knows that halacha. What's the source of that halacha? Hashmini es koylech, Shir HaShirim. Hashem is saying to Klal Yisrael, Hashmini es koylech, let me hear your voice. What voice? It's the voice of davening, right? Hashmini es koylech, ki koylech orev umareich noeh. Because your voice is so sweet and your look is beautiful. The connection between the nimshal and the mashal is very powerful. It's not just a detached mashal, right? We're saying this is the source that a voice of a woman has a profound impact on a man. And this is what we're saying is the effect of Hashem is saying, Hashmi'ni es koylech, ki koylech orev umareich noeh. And the Reish Chachma goes on and says that that's why, for example, there should be nothing in between you and the wall. He says this reflects the halacha of there should be nothing in between the man and his wife at the time. You want to have them merging. Right? It says Hu bevigda v'hi bevigda. Halacha is, if they insist, one of them insists I'm wearing clothing at the time, it's a breaker, it's a deal breaker. Yetziv yitin ksuba. And that's reflected in the halacha. There should be nothing separating between you and the wall. The dinim of tzniyus is reflected, the dinim that nobody else should be aware of what's going on is reflected in the halacha that when a person is davening, his voice should be quiet, it should not be heard outside. All these inyanim are reflecting the bonding between Hashem and Klal Yisrael. So, okay. Halavai, we should talk a bizoicha to take this as an area of Kedusha, as an area of Avodas Hashem. It's one of the areas where that can be a catalyst. It can be one of the greatest areas of growth, because as we said before, it is intense focus of Bein Adam Lamakom and Bein Adam Lachaveiro, and with the pleasure, right? And that Lemaisa is the battery for the Shalom Bayis in general, which takes it further. And Be'ezus Hashem, we'll talk to you to that Veikus and the Shechina, and however else it ought to be in.